I don't want to get your hopes up, but I'm not handing dollar bills out to y'all today. Just so you know, that might come later. That might come later. We may have something. If you got your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. I love the book of Psalms. And there's a lot of meaning in these words. And we're going to look at this one this morning. I would suppose that most of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm is probably one of the most used psalms that you'll find, particularly at funerals. Any idea where I learned the 23rd Psalm? I learned it in Miss Joyce Lipscomb's kindergarten class. I got a coloring book for learning the 23rd Psalm. I did. And, you know, I was familiar with it. I'd always heard it here in church, but she promised a coloring book to anybody who could learn the 23rd Psalm. Isn't it amazing, just in a few short, relatively few short years, how far we've came from the Bible and Jesus and Scripture being referenced even in our education for our children, and now where it's pretty much taken out? It's amazing how far we've come. But the 24th Psalm, what you're going to find, if you've never spent a little bit of time in this, I'll encourage you to go back home and read it again today, because I hope after our few minutes here together, you look at it a little bit differently, or maybe it'll mean a little something else to you. Let's begin in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning as we examine, Lord, this scripture for the next few moments, Father, I pray that you would help us to focus on you. Lord, set our hearts right this morning so that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that you would touch us down deep inside in our souls, Lord, where we need it most. Father, convict us of where we have failed you this week. Father, we're only human. And Lord, many times, Lord, many, many times, Lord, we fall short of the glory of God as your word tells us. But Father, we know that we can come to you this morning and Father, you can convict us and we can make that right before you. Lord, we pray that if there are any here this morning that are not Christians, Father, that don't know you as their Savior, Father, or maybe they've made that commitment in the past and that commitment has somehow grown cold, Father, I pray that you would touch that heart most of all this morning. Lord, this time is yours. Father, get glory from everything that is said and done, and we'll give you praise. In Christ's name we ask all these things. Amen. This psalm that we read this morning is a praise psalm. It was written by David. The Ark of the Covenant that God had given to the children of Israel was being brought back to the children of Israel by David's men. It had been in the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom for quite a while. In fact, it had been away from the children of Israel for almost 50 years. And the Ark of the Covenant was something that was precious, and now it was coming back into their possession, and David had sent his guys to go and get it, and David was happy about this thing. The account of the Ark actually returning is found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, it said that when the Ark came into the city, it said, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments." They had a singing, Miss Barbara. They were celebrating. They got the instruments out and they were playing. It was a happy time. And if you continue reading that account in 2 Samuel, you'll see that it was this occasion where David actually danced before God in the streets. It says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord." It even says a few verses before that that David worshiped and danced with all his might. Now, what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning is true worship. David knew how to worship God. David knew that when you stand in the presence of Almighty God, we should stand in awe. We should realize a few things. We should realize, first of all, how mighty and how holy the God we serve really is, but it should also make us realize just how insignificant we are. And only by the grace of God can we be called the children of God. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we're His creation? We put Him in the rearview mirror so many times, but yet He loved us enough that He died on a cross for us. And He says, "You know what? If you'll just accept the gift of the blood that I shed for you, I'll not just call you a follower of mine, I'll call you my children. I'll adopt you into my family." You know how special that is? And therefore, when we come to worship, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. We come to church on Sunday mornings to worship God. We should be here this morning to worship God. Let me just go a step further. I'm glad you're here, but I hope you didn't come to hear me. I hope you didn't come to hear the choir. I hope you didn't come to hear the music. I hope you came to worship God. All of this is a part of worship. The reason we're here is to worship. The reason we're here. We even refer to our morning services as morning worship, don't we? We refer to it as morning worship. But to a lot of people, worship and going to church are the same thing. Coming to church is very important. Coming to church is very important. Coming to church is where we can come in. We can kind of escape from the outside world. We can take the troubles. And I hope everybody's had a good week. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes we need the fellowship of fellow believers to come in and help to bear our burden. So coming to church gives us a chance to do that. We talked a little bit last week about how fellowship is important, right? Coming to church gives us a chance to fellowship with fellow believers. Last week we had a pastry luncheon and we had some great fellowship down in the fellowship hall, but we had some great fellowship here. We come to church and we're able to hear some good music and we're able to hear some good singing in it, and it lifts us up, it makes our soul light, and we enjoy each other's company and we get comfort and we get encouragement one from another, and coming to church should make us feel good about ourselves. We should come to church and when we leave we should feel good. But very important, worshiping is more than just coming to church. Worshiping is more than just coming to church. Worshiping is entering into the presence of Almighty God for the purpose of lifting Him up, not us. For the purpose of lifting Him up. We should come to church and we should be lifted up ourselves. We should be edified and we should walk out better than what we came here this morning. But our main focus and our main desire should be to lift up and to praise Almighty God. Every worship service. And by the way, that means Sunday night, Wednesday night, when we go to the nursing home, every worship service should be an experience we don't forget. Because if we truly worship, we will have been in the presence of Almighty God. And that's a reason for us to walk out different than what we came. That is a reason for us to walk out different than what we came. Sometimes we come to church and we walk out just the same as we did when we walked in. We sit in church and we're not moved. We don't feel any emotion because to us, coming and attending church is the same thing as worshiping. I've even had people tell me, oh, I attend morning services every Sunday. My question sometimes is, do we worship? Do we really, really worship? Just because we attend this service doesn't mean we worship. We worship when we enter into God's presence, and as I mentioned, we realize just what an awesome God He is and how insignificant we are, but that He loves us. He loves us. And by the way, we don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday night or an occasion at the nursing home to worship. We can be in a state of worship each and every day. Each and every day. Brother J.E. mentioned it this morning in our opening exercises about what a beautiful day it was. He specifically mentioned seeing the robins this morning. You know what? Man can't do that, folks. Man can't do that. When I love the North Carolina Outer Banks. I just love them. And when I stand on that sand and I look and see how majestic and how pretty that area is, man can't do that, folks. There's a place on the Currituck Sound. There's a little restaurant called the Sunset Grill, and it's one of my favorite places to eat in this entire world. And it must have been named for a particular reason, because when the sun's going down over that sound, there's not a prettier place on this earth. Man can't do that. Man cannot do that. It's an Almighty God. And when we realize that everything, as David said, that's in this world, everything, including me and you, were made by God, that's reason enough for us to worship, folks. That's reason enough for us to worship. I want to just spend just a few moments, and I think there's three things we can pull out of this psalm that the conditions that we need to meet before we come into true worship. And the first thing is, God has got to be the focus of our worship. And I know you're sitting there going, are you kidding me? Really? Yes. God has got to be the focus of our worship. And before you throw any stones, let's think about this a little bit. If we're honest with ourselves, there are things in our life, if we're not careful, that we can put ahead of God. If we're not very careful, there are things we can put ahead of God. It may be money. It may be a job. It may even be our family. You know? Listen, God's got to come first. When I counsel with couples before they get married, I tell them, look, I know y'all are just deeply, madly, passionately in love, and I hope that never changes. And husband, you need to put her above your own interest and vice versa, but both of you need to put God first above both of you in your household. God has got to come first. And David, in this psalm, realized that. Look at the first two verses. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Think about who is saying this. This is King David. Scripture says David was a man after God's own heart. David was a powerful man. David was a king. David had thousands and thousands of men at his beck and control. David could say, you do this, you do that, and they would go and they would do it. David was probably wealthy. David had everything anybody could ask for. But when you set him, as great as he was, beside of Almighty God, David had to take a back seat. And David realized that. David realized that, that this is the Lord that I'm serving. This is the one that made the earth. This is the one that made me and you. And David got that. David got that. He realized that this was the God he served, was the one that made the world out of nothing. By the way, just as an aside, I don't subscribe to this Big Bang theory and everything else. When Genesis tells me how the earth was made, that's exactly what I believe, by the way. That's just so you know where I'm coming from on this. We serve a God that provides for us, that sustains us, that provides and sustains this world. He's the sole owner. You and I, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I want to go to heaven. I really do. But I'll tell you something. I'm enjoying the life that God has blessed me with, aren't you? You know, and with all the problems that this world has, when we're really honest with ourselves, you know what? Life ain't that bad. Life. Think about it. Look around you, about your family, your children, your home, something to eat. Listen, God provides for us. God provides. Not anything that we do. Not anything that we do. Everything that we have is God's. Is God's. I want to share an illustration with you. There was a bishop by the name of Edwin Hughes, and he preached a sermon one day that really upset a very wealthy man in his congregation. This man owned thousands and thousands and thousands of acres and had a nice house, and he really, when Bishop Hughes basically said, God owns everything that you have. You didn't do a thing to get it. The only reason you have it is because God has allowed you to be able to even work to earn it. God has given you this. And this guy got really upset, so he invited Bishop Hughes out to his house for lunch. And he served him a very ornate spread. And after lunch, he walked him through all his various gardens and his buildings and across his farm. And afterwards, he looked at Bishop Hughes and he said, "Are you mean to tell me that I don't own any of this?" And Bishop Hughes looked at him and said, "Ask me that question in 100 years. Ask me that question. Everything we have here, folks, is temporary. What we need to focus on is the permanent. Is the permanent. If we focus, if our focus of our worship is God, if we focus on praising God as our Creator, then our worship will be different. We'll have the same excitement that you can hear in these first two verses that David had. We'll want to please Almighty God the same way as a little boy wants to please his dad. Is our worship like that? When we worship, do we realize that all the blessings we really have, we didn't have really anything to do with it? It's just by the grace of God that we have those. David had respect for God. He had love for God. And for our worship to be effective, we've got to focus only on Him. Second thing, look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Folks, we have to be spiritually prepared to worship God. Spiritually prepared. What is being asked in this verse is, who is even worthy to stand in the presence of God and worship Him? And the next verse gives the answer. It said, he that has clean hands and a clean heart. In short, folks, that means if we aren't right with God, that we aren't spiritually prepared to worship Him as effectively as we could. The person that can stand in God's presence is ones that have clean hands and a clean heart. Our attitudes, our actions are pleasing to God. Our thoughts are in check. We've accepted God's rule in our life, and we look to Him to lead and guide and direct us in everything we do. We've given ourselves to Him. We've given up those things in our lives that we try to put above God many times. Now, with all that said, you need to understand, folks, God knows we're not perfect, right? His scripture tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And folks, that all means me and you, every one of us. But it also says he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, you know what that verse in that script, that particular scripture means? The Greek word for cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it doesn't mean once and done. It comes from the word that means to keep cleaning. And when you read it like that, it means a little something different, doesn't it? It means that God realizes, folks, we need to be cleaned every day. We need to come to him every day and confess our sins and ask him to make sure we've got clean hands and a clean heart. We need to ask God to show us where we've done wrong and to convict us of where we've done wrong and to be able to make that right with him and to confess it to him. And by the way, we need to confess it to him. We don't need to confess it to your preacher or anyone else, because you know what? I can't save you from your sins, but I know a man who can. I know a man who can. I can't change it, but he can. But he can. We need to come into worship with clean hands and a clean heart. Matthew 5:8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Folks, when in our worship, we need to see God. We need to see what he has done for us. We need to feel his presence in our lives. Haven't you ever been in a worship service where you just couldn't hardly sit still? You know what that feels like? I've been in worship services, folks, where God was so real I couldn't keep the tears from coming down my cheeks. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been in a worship service where you just couldn't wait to get to the altar and just lay your burdens down on that altar? By the way, if you feel like that in a service, you don't have to wait for an invitation. You come right on. I will stop and pray with you. Folks, God is real. God is real. And when we come with those clean hands and clean hearts and we confess our sins to him, we'll find him when we need him. Jeremiah says, "And you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. So we must focus on God. We must be spiritually prepared to worship. And finally, we've got to have a desire to worship. We've got to have a desire to worship God. The last few verses that we read, it references, who is this King of Glory? Fling open the gates that he might come in. It's a reference to the gate in the New Testament that was called Beautiful. Do you remember that in the New Testament? There's an account where Peter and John healed a man outside the gates of the temple called Beautiful. These gates were enormous. They were overlaid with gold. They were very ornate. And I've read that it took over 20 men, they were so heavy, to push one of them open. There were steps leading up to that gate. And it provided a couple of different purposes. One, it was almost a showplace, but the other thing was it provided protection for that city. And the psalm that we read, I have seen some commentaries where it was almost, Miss Barbara, like a song, almost like a response, where one group would, "Who is this King of Glory?" And then the other group would respond. They opened the gates that he might come in. At Oak Grove, where I came from, there was a picture on the wall that had been donated to the church, and it stood, had Jesus standing outside of a door knocking. And if you looked at that picture close enough, what you'd find is on that door, there was no doorknob on the outside. There was only one doorknob, and it was on the inside. That door had to be opened from the inside so he could come in. Jesus knocks at our hearts, and he says, "I want to come in and worship with you." We got to let him in. We've got to have a desire to worship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." In order to worship God, we have to want it, folks. We have to have desire for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, to dwell in our hearts. We've got to worship, have a desire to worship the King of Kings. David knew how to worship. And folks, you and I have plenty of reasons as to why we should worship Almighty God today. If we truly love Him, He's going to be the focus of our worship. If we truly love Him, we're going to come in to worship, whether it's on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, we're going to come spiritually prepared to worship Him. If we love Him, that's going to be the desire of our heart, that we are going to want to have Him, have to be able to experience a very real worshiping of Jesus Christ in our lives. When we worship, we recognize how unworthy we are, but at the same time, we recognize how much He loves us. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn, and maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never truly worshiped. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it's impossible for you to worship the way that you should. You need Him in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're saying, "Pastor, I want to worship Christ, but I got some things in my life that I don't have a clean hand. I don't have clean hands. I don't have a clean heart. There's some things I need to get right." Folks, you can come to this altar this morning. We can pray and we can ask God, and He'll clean your heart and He'll clean your hands, and He'll enable you to walk out of here on a different road than you ever have before, and you will experience worshiping with the Lord Jesus Christ like you never have before. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, "Pastor, you know what? I don't see what all this worship stuff is about." You need to come to this altar most of all. Folks, we serve a mighty God, amen? And He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. He's an awesome God. And when we come into His presence, we need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. We need to get the same excitement in our worship that David had, that we read about today. And when we do, our worship services will be different. We'll walk out of here different than we ever have before. And our testimony to those outside of these walls will have more meaning than it's ever had before. But we've got to want it. We've got to have a desire for it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, as we come to our time of commitment this morning, Lord, we pray that You would help us all, Father, in the days ahead to focus on worshiping You better than we ever have before. Lord, that You would be the center and focus, Lord, of our worship, that we would come, Father, spiritually prepared to worship, and Father, that we would have a burning desire to worship You like we never have before. Lord, we need to realize just what a mighty God we do serve. Father, we pray that as we have this time of invitation, Lord, You would touch hearts and change lives. In Christ's name we ask all these things. Amen.